And we are privileged today to have Kenneth Liu bringing our Bible lesson. Let's give Kenneth a big thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. It's good to be back again. It's been quite a while since we were here last, but this class has gone through some difficult times, and we have been praying for the class, especially with the sudden departure of Jan Vetito and Dave Wilson. And so we have been lifting their family up in prayer for God to comfort them. And we thank God that we are never alone when these things happen, that God is a God of all comfort and all grace and mercy. So today, I'd like to share with you something about the hands of Jesus. Now, these hands of ours are amazing. You know, we communicate in different ways. And Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 13 talks about the communication of a rabble-rouser. And it says here, a scoundrel and villain goes out with a corrupt mouth. So he speaks with his mouth. Who winks with his eye, whatever that is. He signals with his feet. I don't know how you do that. And motions with his fingers. So this is non-verbal communication. And it's mainly done with the hands. We talk about hand signals in everyday life. You know, what's this? What's this? What's this? What's this? There are all kinds of hand signals that we use every day. And then when we are talking, especially a lecturer, what does he do? He stands there and just talks? No, to make it more exciting, he does all kinds of motions. You watch the pastor, he has amazing motions, you know, all kinds. You cannot really pinpoint what is distinguishing about his gestures, but he includes all kinds of different gestures. And then the hands of the maestro, as he conducts the orchestra or the choir, they speak, they do communicate. And then in sign language, their hands do all of the communication and all of the talking. So the hand of a person really reveals the situation of the person. You feel the soft, tiny hands. That's the hand of a baby. You feel the handshake of a smooth and gentle hand. That's the lady. And then you grab a hold of this rugged, strong hand. That's the hand of a man. And so it was Helen Keller who is that famous blind personality. And she once made the statement, quote, "The hands of those I meet are dumbly eloquent to me. I have met people so empty of joy that when I clasp their frosty fingertips, it seems as if I was shaking hands with a northeast storm. Others there are whose hands are sunbeams in them, and their grasp warms my heart." So we see that the hands of people, they say a lot about them. We marvel at the power of the human hands. The passing hand of the all-star quarterback. The throwing hand of the professional baseball player. The artistic hands of an artisan, a craftsman. And then the agile fingers of the pianist that tickles the ivories. Yes, the human hand is a marvelous piece of engineering. Somebody made the statement, biologically, man is a pretty defenseless creature for his size. He has no canine teeth. He has no claws. He doesn't have a protective hide. But he has prehensile hands with opposable thumbs and fingers. And with this, makes him the master of the earth. He can pick up and manipulate tools and armaments. Without his hands, man is simply a thinking, walking, talking person. But with his hands, he's a thinking, walking, talking, and doing person. Yes, he can do thousands and thousands of different things. And today we're looking at the speaking hands of Jesus. What do they say to us? What really has he done? Well, we read in the last chapter of the book of John, after John recorded all of the things that Jesus did in his ministry, he ends up by saying this, "And there are so many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." So, how much did Jesus do? Plenty. And here, the works of Jesus demonstrate for us the mighty hands of Jesus. And there are four things I would like to concentrate on today. The hands of Jesus are mighty to bless. The hands of Jesus are mighty to heal. The hands of Jesus are mighty to feed. And the hands of Jesus are mighty to save. First of all, the hands of Jesus are mighty to bless. And we see this amazing event in Mark chapter 10 and verse 16. And you're acquainted with this. When Jesus lifted up the children and he blessed them. Mark chapter 10 and verse 16. "And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them." The timing is significant because Jesus was now on his way towards Jerusalem to do the biggest thing he came to do, to die for you and for me. And yet, to the objection of his disciples, Jesus took the time and the interest in children. He lifted them up and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. And the word "bless" there is a compound word. It suggests intensity in the way Jesus was blessing these children. He fervently blessed them. And here we find that the disciples had something to learn, that they should also be like children in receiving the kingdom of God, to receive it as a little child, to receive it with humility, with obedience, and with trust. So the mighty hands of Jesus are mighty to bless. And did you know that this is Jesus' redemptive mission when he came to this earth? We see in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John going to worship God in the temple, and they come to the gate called Beautiful, and there was a man born lame, seeking alms, and somebody said he asked for alms and he got legs. Yeah. Jesus says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he jumped up and leaped and walked, and that really drew the attention of the people, and they all gathered, and Peter had an audience, and he preached Jesus to them, how he was crucified, how he was raised from the dead. And then in Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, he says, unto you first, God raised up his son Jesus, and sent him to bless you. Those are the words. God sent him to do what? His redemptive purpose, to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So here we see from the context, this was no small blessing Jesus came to give. Yes. A lame man born from his birth, lame, was raised instantaneously. That's power, powerful blessing. And you know what? 5,000 men received God and received Christ as the Savior through that one single message. That's power. Today we preach 5,000 messages and one person gets saved. Yeah. Yeah, power here. A story is told about Pope Innocent IV, and he had a visitor come to visit him, Thomas Aquinas, that angelic doctor. And he brought him to his chamber where all the treasuries of Rome were being brought and counted. And then the Pope turned to Thomas and he said, you see, Thomas, we have come to a time in which the church cannot say anymore, silver and gold have I none. And Thomas turned to the Pope and says, true, Lord. But at the same time, we come to a time like this in which no longer can the church say, rise up and walk. Yes, Jesus, his hands to bless, they are powerful blessings that come from the hands of Jesus. Secondly, we find that the hands of Jesus are mighty to heal. Here in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, we have Jesus delivering his magnum opus, the Sermon on the Mount. As soon as he was done, he comes down from the mountain, and here comes a leprous person, a leper. He came and he worshipped him, and he said to Jesus, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus reached out to him with healing grace. Matthew 8 and verse 3 we read, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Now in those days, lepers indeed were unclean, they were defiled, and they were the untouchables. When the leper came into society, he has to announce his presence so that people don't bump into him and touch him and become unclean. They are the untouchables. But notice here, Jesus puts forth his hand and he touches him and makes him clean. If down the ways on the same day, Jesus then comes to Peter's home, and there he encounters Peter's mother-in-law, and she was sick with some kind of a sickness. And then the Bible says that he touched her hand and he made her well. Now in those days, it was not proper for a man to touch a woman. But Jesus touched because his hands were mighty to heal. And then the same day in the evening, the Bible says when the sun was setting, all they that had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them. Notice the emphasis, not on some of them. He laid his hands on every one of them. And here in another incident, we have a blind man healed by Jesus. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. And here we find in the setting, Jesus has just arrived in the village of Bethsaida. And the blind man was brought to him, brought to Jesus by his friends. And they asked Jesus to touch him. They didn't say heal him. They wanted Jesus to touch him. And you know that the touch of the master's hand will bring amazing results. And so we read that Jesus took him aside. Oh, privacy. Mark chapter 8, verse 23. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. It's amazing. In those days, they believed that the spittle has therapeutic power. And so what do you think Jesus did? He identifies with the man. He wants to encourage his faith. He wants him to have some expectation. So when he spat on his eyes, the man knew exactly what is going to happen. Healing, therapeutic, spittle. But not only that, that Jesus touches his eyes and he says, do you see anything? So it reminds me of my ophthalmologist, you know. He says, do you see anything? Is A better than B? Is B better than C? And you they look the same. And he says, I see men like trees walking. So obviously he wasn't born blind. He has seen men, so he knows what they look like. But now they're looking like trees walking. And Jesus touches his eyes a second time. And now he sees clearly. So there we find that the emphasis is on the touching. The hands of Jesus are mighty to heal. Now, Jesus doesn't have to touch. The nobleman's son, the centurion's servant, they were sick, and all Jesus did was say the word, and they were healed instantaneously that same time. But notice here that he puts his hands upon this blind man two times. The emphasis is there. So what's this about Jesus touching to heal when that is not absolutely necessary? But Jesus is the master. He knows when the touch is indeed necessary. And we all know the magic of the human touch, even in daily lives. To touch somebody is to establish a point of contact. It is to make things personal. Yes, it is to identify with the needs of the person when you touch them. And we find that touch also conveys a lot of comfort and reassurance to people. During my pastoring years, I would make weekly trips to the hospital. Someone is having surgery, someone is in serious trouble, or people who are know that they are going to, you know, be with the Lord soon. And in my comforting them and prayers for them, where I always hold their hands. And even after I've finished praying, they are still holding on to my hand. The human touch brings immense reassurance and building of faith. And so, you know, I look at these people who are healed. I think of the song by the Gaithers, you know. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. The third thing about the hands of Jesus is that They are mighty to feed. We all know about the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. Where in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven. He blessed the loaves and the fish. He broke them and he gave them and he fed 5,000 people. Similarly, in the feeding of the 4,000, we find that Jesus took the 7 loaves and he looked up to heaven. He gave thanks for the loaves. He broke them. He gave them. And he fed 4,000 people. But I would like to call your attention to another feeding of Jesus. And this time, it is the feeding of his own disciples. There were 5 of them. And they got bored after Jesus had resurrected. There was nothing to do. They were waiting for the next move from Jesus. And he hasn't appeared to them. And so in this third post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to the disciples, we find Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, and John. They went fishing. Yeah, you know, nothing you do waiting, you fish. That's a nice way to wait too. They fished all night and they caught nothing. Okay. And then in the dawning of the morning, Jesus is standing there on the shores. And he says, have you caught anything? He says, no, nothing. He said, throw the net on the right side of the boat. And they do that. And they drag in a big haul of fish. Later on, they actually counted the fish. And the Bible says they caught 153 large fish, not small. When Jesus delivers, he delivers big, you know, he's a big hands of the Lord. And then they come into shore, and there in John chapter 21 and verse 12, Jesus says, come and dine. Wow. And Jesus had bread and he had fish all ready for them. And Jesus fed them. Bread and fish for a wonderful breakfast. Now, you know, we eat cereal. This morning we had cereal for breakfast and banana. We have other stuff, you know, eggs and bacon and all of that. But have you ever had fish for breakfast? I have. Not by choice. I arrived in America for higher education, and the Indian government where I came from only allowed me $8. That's all I had. And so to make ends meet, you know, I didn't buy a coupon. A food ticket in the seminary where I was studying. So I found cans of sardines for sale. They'll keep. There's no refrigeration in the dorms. So in the morning when I got up, got ready to go to class, I take out this little can of sardine. Sardines never tasted so good in the morning. Yes. Those were the days. And so here, the risen Christ indeed was showing them that his hands are indeed mighty to save. And there is an old song that says, come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now. Come and dine. You got to wait before lunch comes. And many of you will be dining this afternoon. Thank Jesus for supplying our needs He feeds us. And lastly, we find that the hands of Jesus are mighty to save. The salvation of human beings from sin is the primary reason why Jesus came down to this earth. He came to save us from our sins. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Romans 5:8. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. On the cross, crucified for me, he died. He was nailed to the cross for me. After Jesus was crucified, on the first day of his resurrection, he made an appearance to 10 of his disciples. John chapter 20 and verse 20 tells us that the disciples were in the room and the doors were locked because of fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and he appeared before them and he said, Shalom, peace be unto you. He got their attention. And the first thing he did was he showed them his hands. And immediately they recognized who he was. See, the hands of Jesus are the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. And intentionally, he wanted to identify himself with the nail-scarred hands. Thomas was not there. And when the disciples shared with Thomas what happened, he says, I will not believe until I see with my own hands the nail-scarred and thrust my hands into his side. I will not believe. And the Bible says, 8 days later, Jesus again appeared to his disciples. Here again, the disciples were, this time Thomas was present. There were 11 of them. And the doors were shut. And Jesus appeared before them. And he says, Shalom. Peace be unto you. And then he zeroes in on Thomas. Thomas, behold my hands. Stretch forth your fingers and touch. And thrust forth your hands and feel. Yes, that was intentional. That Jesus identifies who he is with the nail-scarred hands that he had. Yes, Jesus wants his disciples to look at his hands, the nail-scarred hands, the distinguishing mark of his identity as the Savior of the world. The hands of Jesus are mighty to save. A story is told about a little girl who had trouble looking at her mother's hand because they were all scarred and bruised and rather unsightly. And one day she just confessed to her mom, Mom, I have difficulty looking at your hands. And then for the first time, the mother shared with her daughter, yes, when you were a baby, you were in the crib room, and the house was on fire. And then I realized that you were in there. And with my bare hands, I fought through the fire and all the debris to get to you. And finally, I found you. And with my burned hands, I picked you up and brought you out. And the little girl said, Mom, thank you so much. Thank you for saving my life. Those are beautiful hands. I love those hands. Yes, the mighty hands of Jesus are indeed loving hands. So look to the hands of Jesus. When in doubt, when in trouble, he has lifted up his hands. They are nail-scarred hands. Yes, they will bless. They will heal. They
He will feed.
And they will save, and they will, in fact, deliver. And so I close with these verses that I want to share with you, written by one Mrs. Cray, R-E-R-A-E, Mrs. Ray. It says, the hands of Jesus. We are in His hand, that mighty hand that flung a universe in space, that guides the sun and moon and stars, and holds the planets in their place. We are in His hand, that skillful hand that made the blinded eyes to see, and touched the leper, and cleansed and healed, and set the palsied sufferer free. We are in His hands, the loving hand that lifted children to His breast, that fed the hungry multitude, that beckoned weary hearts to rest. We are in His hands, those pierced hands, once nailed to Calvary's cruel tree, when there in agony and blood, He paid the price to set us free. And none shall be plucked from that hand. Eternally we are secure, though heaven and earth may pass away, His word forever shall endure. Those hands are still outstretched to bless His people, wayworn feet to guide, till dawn shall break and shadows flee, when He will come to claim His bride. Thank you, Lord. You say, and many have said, actions speak louder than words. So thank you for the actions of the mighty hand that you have displayed to us. Thank you, Lord, that you keep reaching out your caring hands, you lift us up, your serving hands, your praying hands, your giving hands, your generous hands, your loving hands. And may we abide in the hands of our Lord. We are in good hands in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.